All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Dalet Amud Bet. Gufa, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So the Gemara is going back to this statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Al Hekdesh Rishon Mosif Chomesh, Al Hekdesh Sheni Ein Mosif Chomesh. That when it comes to Hekdesh Rishon, which is the first redemption of the item, then you have to add on a fifth. But when you are redeeming it multiple times, then you don't have to add on a fifth. So it's only in the first redemption that there's this obligation, if it's yours, that you add on a fifth. If you then redeem something that was already redeemed, you don't have an obligation to add on a fifth again. That means that if you're a makdish, an animal, and then you want to redeem the animal onto money, that's called hekdesh rishon. That's where you move it from the animal onto the item, and then hekdesh sheni is if you want to take that money and redeem it onto something else, that you're doing a second exchange. Amar Rava, my time with the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position? Amar Kara. Pasuk says, ve'im ha-makdish yig'alet beito, ha-makdish velo ha-matpis. So it says there in the Pasuk that the person who is makdish and wants to redeem his house, then the makdish, the person who initially puts it into hekdesh or makes it hekdesh, then he pays a fifth. Ha-matpis is someone who exchanged something that's already been made hekdesh and he's trying to exchange it onto something else after it's already been exchanged once. So that's an equivalent trade. There you don't have to do or add on the chomesh. Tani Tana Kamei de Rabbi Elazar. There was a braita that was brought before Rabbi Elazar. Ve'im ba behemahat mea ufada be'erkecha. That says by a non-kosher animal, or behemahat mea is interpreted to mean a baal mum, something that doesn't have ability to be brought on the mizbeach, and then you have to redeem the item. Ma behemahat mea miyuchadet shetchilata hekdesh. Unique aspects of a behemahat mea that, first of all, it starts out to being hekdesh, v'kula l'shamayim, and it's entirely dedicated to the shamayim, u'mo'alimba, and there is a din of mi'ilah l'gabei this animal. Ah, so too, anything, kol shetchilata hekdesh, v'kula l'shamayim, mo'alimba, so anything that shares that comic characteristic with this type of hekdesh, which is tchilata hekdesh, it starts out as hekdesh, v'kula l'shamayim, it's entirely dedicated to the shamayim, mo'alimba, there will be a din of mi'ilah, which means that if you misappropriate it, you're going to have to pay hekdesh plus a fifth, and you'll have to bring a korban, asham mi'ilot. So amrlei Rabbi Elazar letano, so Rabbi Elazar says to the person who is bringing this braita, bishlama kula l'shamayim, I understand why you're saying kula l'shamayim is a prerequisite to be chayav in mi'ilah, because that comes the mute kochim kalim. That comes to exclude kochim kalim. Came to eat lehu lebalim begavayu lehu me'ilah. Since the owners have some rights inside of this animal, there's no din of mi'ilah by kochim kalim. So I understand why you would say that unique aspect of the behemat me'ah is something that is required in order to be chayav in mi'ilah, because that is in contrast to kochim kalim, where you don't have that requirement. But ela tchilat hekdesh lim'ute mai, what is tchilat hekdesh coming to exclude? What is unique about this idea of tchilat hekdesh? So the Gemara says, tchilat hekdesh hu de'it ba mi'ilah, sof hekdesh leit belu mi'ilah? Why would that make any sense? Just because at the beginning of when you're makdishit, then there is a din of mi'ilah, but the end of the process, there is no mi'ilah. I mean, it's difficult to understand why there should be any difference in that time. It says to him, maybe Dilma Linyan Chomesh Kamart, Ukad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Maybe this is referencing the Chomesh, similar to the din of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Amalei in. He says, you're right. That's what I meant. That this is like that din of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that teaches us that only in the initial exchange from Hekdesh onto something else is there a requirement of a Chomesh. But after that point, if you redeem it numerous times, there's no requirement to add on a Chomesh in each of those times. As Rashi explains over here, this is a little difficult the way that the Bright is explaining it. Both Rashi and Tosafot try to work with it. You can see in Rashi, it says, Dilma le'inyan chomesh kamar, hach mi'ilah, lav mi'ilah mamash kamar. This mi'ilah that we're speaking about here is not real mi'ilah. V'lo menene min hekdesh. It's not talking about someone who misappropriated hekdesh. El v'chomesh kamar, it's speaking about a chomesh in general. U'babat livdod hekdesh kamar, someone's coming to redeem it. V'kari l'chomesh mi'ilah, so then why is it calling the one-fifth a din of mi'ilah, mishum de mi'ilah na mishay chomesh? Because chomesh is relevant by mi'ilah. Ulum ute hekdesh sheni, ata kad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's coming to exclude this multiple redemptions that you do on a single item that does not require chomesh in the subsequent redemptions after the first redemption. But the problem is obvious, and what Rashi is trying to deal with is that the language of the braita brought doesn't seem to indicate anything about a chomesh. And what is the relevance of a chomesh here? So Rashi does it by association. It says, Me'ilah has a chomesh associated with it. If a person misappropriates Hekdesh, they have to bring him a shami lot, plus they have to pay the Karen plus a chomesh. So chomesh is in the world of Me'ilah, and so therefore maybe that's the reference over here. You can see the Bali HaTosafot also note, Perish Rashi, Umo Alim Ba, Hainu Umo Siv Chomesh. The word Me'ilah doesn't really mean Me'ilah over here, it really means a chomesh. And then he says, V'teima, alo shlamim, ein akula l'shamayim, umosif chomesh. He says, wait a minute, if that's what Rashi is saying is correct interpretation of the Braita, then why is kodshim kalim excluded? Even though they're not kula l'shamayim, they still have a din of a chomesh that you have to add on a chomesh to it. So he says, V'eshlamar, demaskana de torat konim, rabbe af kodshim kalim. If you follow the Braita in Torat Konim, in the Midrash Halacha Vayikra, you'll see that in the end they do include Kodshim Kalim to this din. So then that would mean that what Tosafot is suggesting is that the Gemara here is only quoting a portion of the Braita. It's not giving you the full Braita, and you have to either know the rest of the Braita, or the Gemara is continuing as if you did know the rest of the Braita. Assuming you do know that, then it's continuing to explain the Braita. And as Tosafot points out, when the Gemara originally asked to come to exclude Kodshim Kalim because of Kulul HaShamayim, he says, Lo mesik adate misofa braita. He wasn't thinking about the end of the braita, demirabeh af Kodshim Kalim. So you get a section of a braita, and the Gemara had a havamin about that, which is impossible based on the remainder of the braita, but it's as if it took it in a discrete point and said, given what we have up to now in the Braita, maybe this is the explanation. Once you have the full Braita, then we gave this alternate explanation of the Gemara. Also, I should point out that Tosfot also notes that why do we need this limud at all? Because we already learned that from what Rava brought before, which is Imam Magdish Yigal et Beito. So there it says, Magdish Falo Amat Pis. So if that's the case, then why is there a need for another limud over here if we already had the limud from the pasuk that speaks about a house that's being redeemed? And so the Tosafot says, Veshlama, the Krad Leel Mairi b'Makdish Beito. That's talking about someone who's Makdish their house. V'hocha Mairi b'Behemat Me'a, Davi Metaltalin. And here we're talking about a Behemat Me'a, which is a movable object, not real estate. Therefore, I need a separate pasuk to teach me the same din, both by real property as well as by Metaltalin. And that's why we need this second limud. So then, Amar Le Rav Ashi, the Ravino, Behemat Me'a, Bitchilat Hekdesh Ita, Be'emtza Hekdesh Leta. I'm trying to understand now, this Behemat Me'a, that you're giving this idea of Tchilat Hekdesh, that it only exists in Tchilat Hekdesh, implying that there is no Emtza Hekdesh over here, or it's not applicable. So why is that the case? Meaning that this animal, this object, can be the origins of the Hekdesh, your Makdish, this item, or it could be the vehicle for moving Hekdesh from something else onto it, meaning that it could be the transference of Hekdesh onto it. So, Amalei, Lefish Eina B'Sof Hekdesh. There's no possibility that it can be used at Sof Hekdesh. So here there are three stages that we're speaking about in Hekdesh. Tchilat Hekdesh means you're Makdish that object itself. Sof Hekdesh is you utilize that object in the Mikdash or on the Mizbeach. Emtza Hekdesh is that you use that item to transfer Kedusha onto it as an interim stage. So as far as a Behemat Me'a is concerned, it does have relevance by Tchilat Hekdesh. You can be Makdish it. You can be Makdish the animal to Berek HaBayit, to use it for its monetary means to give to the Mikdash. You could use it as Emtza Hekdesh. You can use it as a vehicle for carrying Kedusha until you transfer it onto something else. The one thing you can't do with it is use it as Sof Hekdesh, because it can't end up on the Mizbeach, and it also can't end up in the Mikdash itself as being utilized as part of the Binyan HaMikdash. So for that reason, you have a difference between Tchilat Hekdesh and Sof Hekdesh, but not to imply that they can't be Be'emsa Hekdesh. The contrast is between Tchilat Hekdesh versus Sof Hekdesh. Amalei, the fish ain't a b'Sof Hekdesh. That's his answer, is that, no, not to say that Tchilat Hekdesh in contrast to Emtza Hekdesh, but rather in contrast to Sof Hekdesh. Amalei, Rav Acha midifti the Ravina be'Emtza Hekdesh mia ita. So if it has a manifestation be'Emtza Hekdesh, then lo sif nami chomesh. Then why don't you have to add on a fifth when it's used as an interim stop for moving the Hekdesh? We assumed until now that you only have to pay chomesh, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, for the first redemption, not when it's used in a multiple-staged redemption where you're transferring the kedusha to multiple items. But over here, if you're saying to me that the definition in the Braita is Tchilat Hekdesh, is the item. Sof Hekdesh is the contrast. That means that Emtza Hekdesh looks exactly like Tchilat Hekdesh and should then require you to pay a Chomesh. Amarle, who Kesof Hekdesh. Emtza Hekdesh is the same din as the end of Hekdesh. Masof Hekdesh Enu Mosif Chomesh. Just like at the end of the Hekdesh, if you utilize this item on the Mizbeach, or you utilize this item in the Mikdash itself, you wouldn't add on a Chomesh. Af Emtza Hekdesh Enu Mosif Chomesh. So too, if it's used as an interim stage to park the Hekdesh on it, it also does not require a Chomesh. Some of the Rav Zutra, Breda Rav Mari, the Ravina, my Chazit. Why would you make such a distinction? The Medamit Le Lesof Hekdesh, Damye Letchilat Hekdesh. Why are you comparing it to the Sof Hekdesh where there is no Chomesh? Compare Emtza Hekdesh to Tchilat Hekdesh, where there is Chomesh. What drove you to say that it's similar to Sof Hekdesh rather than Tchilat Hekdesh? Amalei Mistavra, the Sof Hekdesh, Havalei de Dmuye. It makes sense to put it in the same category as Sof Hekdesh. Shekein Nitpas, Min Nitpas. Because we're talking about items that are being transferred, or Kedusha is being transferred onto them. So just like Emtza Hekdesh is a transference of Kedusha from another item, so too, Sof Hekdesh is also something that resulted from the transference of Kedusha onto this item. Where it says, Adarabo, could say just the opposite. Did Tchilat Hekdesh Avle Didmuye Shekein Davar Sheish Acharav Kedusha? Mi Davar Sheish Acharav Kedusha. It makes sense to speak about an item where there is another stage of Kedusha after it. Just like when you're Makdish in the beginning, you can transfer it over to the next item. You can. So too, in the Emtza Hekdesh, you can transfer it on to whatever will be the Sof Hekdesh. When you had Sof Hekdesh, then that item's ending up in the Mikdash, or is ending up on the Mizbeach, there's no more transference. So there's more reason to compare it to Tchilat Hekdesh than to Sof Hekdesh. Kedama Rava, similar to the Limud of Rava, Ha'ola, Ola Rishona. So Rava has a drosha with regards to the Ha'ola, which has a Hei HaYidi'ah on it. When you say Ha'ola, it means the Ola, with a capital T. And that means Ola Rishona, the very first Ola. That can be interpreted in one of two ways. Either the first Ola that's brought in the Mikdash every day, which is the Tamid Shel Shachar, or the first Korban that was described in the Torah, which is also the Tamid Shel Shachar. Either because in Parshat Pinchas, which describes the Korbanot, it is the first Korban that is mentioned. Or if you believe the Olot at Har Sinai were the Korban HaTamid, then it was also the first Korban that was ever brought under the Tzivui of the Torah. So the Ha'olai is referencing that Korban, Tamid Shel Shachar, because it has the Hei HaYidi'ah. Hachanami HaTimei'ah. Also in the Pasuk that we quoted in terms of redemption, it says, V'im Babeima HaTimei'ah Ufada Be'erkecha. So there it uses the Hei HaYidi'ah with regards to the HaTimei'ah. HaTimei'ah, Timei'ah Rishona. Means the item that was in its first stages. And therefore the din of Chomesh only applies to the first stage of Hekdesh, meaning that once you're redeeming that first level of Hekdesh, that's where there's a requirement for Chomesh. After that, there is no requirement of Chomesh. And so that's how we learn it from the Breita, that there's only this requirement in the first redemption to pay a Chomesh. Subsequent to that point, if you redeem it multiple times, there is no necessity to add on a Chomesh at that point. All right, Tanya Kavate Rabbi Shul ben Levi. There's a Breita that supports that position of Rabbi Shul ben Levi, which is what we've been discussing all along, that there is only a Chomesh once. Parazo tachat para shel Hekdesh. A person exchanges a para for another para of Hekdesh. Talit zo tachat talit shel Hekdesh. I want this talit to replace the talit of Hekdesh. Hekdesho padui, then it works. V'yad Hekdesh aleluyona. And Hekdesh has the upper hand over here. We're going to see the second half of the Braita, and then I'll come back and explain the first half of the Braita. Para zo b'chamesh tlaim tachat para shel Hekdesh. This para that is worth 5 sela will replace the para of Hekdesh. Talit zo b'chamesh tlaim, or this talit that is 5 sela will replace tachat talit shel Hekdesh. There, Hekdesho Padui. Over there, Hekdesh Padui. But what is missing from the Braita in this case is the V'yad Hekdesh Alel Yona. That Yad Hekdesh has the upper hand. And Rashi explains over here that the difference is when you don't assign a value to the item that you're exchanging onto, then the assumption is that Hekdesh will be fully and properly redeemed onto this item. And so that means that if the item exceeds the value of the Hekdesh, Yad Hekdesh Al Yona, then the assumption is that you transferred all the kedusha onto this item with all the excesses, and even though this animal is worth more than the original animal, it's fully hekdesh. If there's a deficit, meaning that the animal exceeds the worth of the animal that it's being exchanged onto, and then you would have to add on money in order to make it whole in terms of the hekdesh. So over there, where you do not define the value of the hekdesh or the transference of the hekdesh, the assumption is that hekdesh gets everything. If the new animal is worth more, then hekdesh gets all of it. The new animal is worth less, you're going to have to make up for the differential that is missing from that valuation. On the other hand, when it comes to the second part of the breita there, you specify the value that you are using in order to redeem it. And in that case, that's the value that hekdesh gets the right to. Whether it exceeds or it is a deficit, that is the value that they get. And that's based on a principle of Shmuel that we see in other places in Shas, which is that if a person is podeh hekdesh, redeems hekdesh, even though he doesn't give the full value of the hekdesh that he's redeeming, it's still padoy, it is still redeemed. Even if he uses a pruta, it suffices to remove the hekdesh from one item and move it on to the other item. And so for that reason, in the second part of the breita, it does not say, yad shel hekdesh al elyona, because there that's not the case, that yad hekdesh is not on the elyona. Even though Rashi in this instance also says, hekdesh padoy vihu yashlim, that he has to make up the difference, and the chiddush here is the fact that it goes through despite the fact that it has a lower valuation than it needs to be. Nevertheless, the Balei HaTosafot explained that there is a significant difference in these two cases. Because, achalo garsinan yad hekdesh al yuna, kevin shenitkaven lechalel hekdesh afilu shaveh harbe al devar muat, mechulal. Therefore, it works without any addition, without you making up the differential. And that's what Tosafot says, lekachlo yirev lishno tababot yachad. That's why the first case and the second case in the Braita are separated, because their dinim are different. Now, as Tosafot points out over here, we must be speaking about a para that is being dedicated to Berek HaBayit. Because otherwise, you have a problem of tmura, that when you exchange one animal for the other, then not only is the first animal memain hekdesh, the next animal becomes hekdesh, and both animals are hekdesh. So that's an issue of tmura. Over here, you're doing it bederech chilul, you're exchanging it, you are removing the hekdesh from the one item and placing it on the other item. And Tosfot says that would only be possible if we were speaking about kodshei berek habayit. He says, even if it's kodshei mizbeach, it would have to be in a certain way, which that they would never end up on the mizbeach, meaning that the mum preceded the hekdesh mizbeach on the animal, so it won't end up on the mizbeach. The truth is that Rav Hirsch on the Chumash describes the difference between tmura and pidyon, and redemption. And the question of the difference between pidyon and tmura revolves around where the focus is. Are you focusing on the item that you're transferring the kedusha to, or are you focused on the item that has the hekdesh on it? And he says, for that reason, pidyon is allowed, and tmura is not allowed. Tmura is not allowed is because of the fact that your intent with tmura is to not transfer the kedusha or be poder the kedusha, but rather you're trying to exchange the items. And in doing so, you've lost the idea or track of what is the meaning of hekdesh, and therefore it doesn't work, and you make both of them kadosh. On the other hand, when pidyon, where you're redeeming it, you're not trying to exchange, you're trying to redeem. And in redeeming, you have the right to do that because you've recognized or understood the hekdesh that's there and given its proper reverence towards the hekdesh, and therefore you can be podeh. But that Rav Hirsch is helpful in understanding the difference between pidyon and tmura. And over here, you could use that also to be relevant and say that the reason that it works over here is not called tmura is because he's doing it derech pidyon and not derech tmura. Now, the most important line of that breita is the last line of the breita, which is alekdesh rishon mosif chomesh, alekdesh sheni eni mosif chomesh. That only in the first ekdesh, when you're redeeming that, do you add on a chomesh. But when it comes to transference to a second item, then when you transfer the kedusha again, or you're podeh that kedusha again, there's no necessity to add on a chomesh once again. And so that's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says. And now we have a breita that corroborates his position or supports his position that chomesh is only relevant on the first redemption. For subsequent redemptions of the same items afterwards, there's no requirement of adding on a chomesh. All right, now we move on to a mishnah. The mishnah is somewhat difficult because it brings down halachot that are seemingly not exact in their definition here, as well as it's not clear why they're brought here, because as the Gemara is going to ask, we've seen all of this information before, it's not new. The answer, in all likelihood, is that this Mishnah is being used as a segue to get to the second half of the Mishnah, and the second half of the Mishnah speaks about items that we're summarizing that all have this commonality to them. Mishnah begins, Hona'ah Arba'ah Kesef. That when it comes to Hona'ah, Hona'ah is for Ma'ah Kesef. We learned this before in the Gemara that it's for Ma'ah Kesef L'Sela. That's when we're talking about in the context of a Sela, then for Ma'ah Kesef is considered to be Hona'ah because that is 1/6 of a Sela. A Sela is equal to 4 dinar. Each dinar has 6 Ma'ah in it. So that's 1/24. A ma'ah is 1/24 of a sela. If you have 4 ma'ot kesef, then you have 1/6 of a sela. So that's what it says here. Ona'ah is 4 kesef. That we already know from the previous Mishnayot. And again, this is not new information, as well as it's not true all the time. It's only true in the context of a sela. V'hata'ana shte kesef. When it comes to Beit Din, where a person is making a claim that will generate a necessity for a Shvuah in Beit Din, the claim must be a minimum of 2 kesef. V'hoda'ah, and the admission, the moda b'miktzat, has to be a shaveh pruta. Again, this is a Mishnah that's found in Shvuot, which we'll discuss there, Machlokut Amoraim, how to interpret this information. But nevertheless, a Mishnah that's found somewhere else. Then the Mishnah segues into chamesh prutotain. There are 5 types of prutot, or 5 times where a pruta is relevant. And this seems to be what the Mishnah is all about, or what it's trying to get to, and it just used the other dinim to bring you to this point. But they are, number 1, hoda'a shaveh pruta, that's what we just mentioned, that in admission where a person is modeh b'miktzat, that has to be a minimum of a shaveh pruta. Number 2 is, aisha mitkadeshet b'shaveh pruta, that we know the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, the consideration, or the minimum consideration for marriage, or creating erusin is a shaveh pruta. Vanene b'shaveh pruta min hekdesh ma'au. Someone who benefits, misappropriates hekdesh to the value of a pruta is then in violation of mi'ila. Hamotze shaveh pruta chayav lachriz. Number 4, that a person who finds something that is a minimum value of a pruta, they are obligated then to announce about it and to make efforts to return it to du hashavat aveda. Below a pruta, then there is no obligation to do a shavat veveda. Vagozelet chaveiro shaveh pruta. Someone who steals from his friend a minimum of a shaveh pruta. Vinish balo. And then he swore falsely, denying the obligation that he has to pay him. And then he admits to the fact that he lied under oath. Yolichenu acharav afilu madai. Then he's got to take it to him directly and return it to him. It's not enough to send it or give it to a shliach. You do not attain kapara until it reaches the aggrieved party. And that's because of the pasuk that says, V'natan l'asher asham lo, that you have to give it to the person that you sinned or offended, and therefore you don't attain kapara until it reaches his hand. So now the Gemara asks the question that we noted. Tanina chadazimna. We already learned this Mishnah. Ha'ona, 4 kesef, mesrim v'arba kesef l'sela. Ona is 4 kesef, when there are 24 ma'ot kesef in a sela, as we just described before, shtut l'mekach, which is 1/6. So then, why do I need that information if it's in a previous Mishnah? Where it says, atana shte kesef, oda shave pruta yitzrichale. We need the next line in the Mishnah. Where it says, ha'na mitanina. That's also an explicit Mishnah in Shavuot. Shavuot ha'dayanim, when it comes to a Shavuot in Beitin, where a Beitin can impose a Shavuot, my answer is, seifa yitzrichale. We need the latter part of the Mishnah, diktanei chamesh prutotain, that there are 5 prutot. So this brings us slowly in that direction by taking Mishnayot, or information that we already knew, and segueing into this idea of the pruta. It's clear that this information is not necessary here because we have it in other places, and that's why we're saying that it's a segue or an introduction just to get to where we want to be. I mean, that the latter half of the Mishnah wants to get to this issue of a pruta. And so then it uses these items as the vehicle or the mechanism to connect between the sugya that we're dealing with, which is Ona'ah, and this Mishnah that discusses the Chamesh Prutot. So the Mishnah talks topically about what is found in this Perek, which is Ona'ah. Then it shifts from that Ona'ah to Shvuat HaDayanim, because that also involves Kesef and Ma'ot. And then that brings us to the pruta. And once we get to the pruta, then it expounds or explicates on the pruta. So it's trying to create some sort of continuum within the perek and not just bring a random Mishnah that says, oh, chamesh prutotein. Because otherwise you'd have no context in which it makes sense to bring it in this parak. So now the Gemara continues and says, Chamesh prutotein, belitneg nami ona'a pruta. Wait a minute. Why doesn't the Mishnah also note that ona'a has to be a minimum of a pruta? So that would be, first of all, topically relevant, because that's the parak that we're in. And number two, that would have been the easiest segue to get to these issues of the pruta. Samar Rav Kahana, zoto merit, ein ona'a the prutot. From this you would conclude that that's not true. There is no such thing as ona'a with regards to prutot, as Rashi notes over here, but pachot mi isar. With less than an isar, there is no ona'a, shumat beya shel kesef. That is the smallest or the lowest form of kesef for coinage. And since that is the bottom of the coinage or currency stack in terms of kesef, that's where there is ona'a. Once you go below that and enter into the copper coins or the prutot, there is no din of ona'a. But Levi Amar, yesh ona'a the prutot. On the other hand, Levi argues and says there is ona'a even by prutot, even by these copper coins. V'chein tana Levi bimetnite, and so too, Levi has in his Mishnah, or his Braitot. Remember again, Levi is a Talmid of Rabbi. He is late era of the Tanaim into the beginning of the Amoraim. And so Levi had the equivalent of a Braita or a Tosefta that was his collection. And in his collection, the Chamesh Prutotain, he has five Prutot as well, but his five Prutot are a little different. Ha'ona'a Pruta. The first of which is not found in our Mishnah, is that Ona'a has a din of a Pruta. So that's exactly what the Gemara was asking. Why isn't it in the Mishnah? The Gemara answered, maybe because it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. We have Levi who says it does belong, and in his Mishnah, in his Braita, it was contained there. V'ho'da'a pruta, similar to our Mishnah, that the admission for Modeb Miksat has to be a minimum of a pruta. V'kidushei Yishab pruta, number three is similar to our Mishnah as well, which is consideration for Erusin has to be a minimum of a pruta. V'gezel bepruta, and gezel also is pruta, which is the last case mentioned in our Mishnah, that when you lie under oath, and then you admit to lying under oath of denying that money, that you have to return it to the individual themselves. And now he adds on something else, v'shivata dayanim bepruta. In order to bring a case to court, you need a minimum amount to have the judges adjudicate the case, and that is a pruta. So now, here in Levi's Mishnah, or Braita, you have two items that are not found in our Mishnah. One is ona'a, and the other one is yeshivata dayanim. Now, in order to do that, Levi has to replace two of the items that were found in our Mishnah over here. And those items are mitziah and hekdesh. Those are the two items that he does not have in his Braita. Now the Gemara is going to discuss why each one had their list of five and did not include the other item. V'tani didan, my time alok tani yeshivata dayanim. Why doesn't our Tana deal with the case of that you only bring a case with a minimum of a pruta? So tana le gezel. It says, we already spoke about the case of gezel. So milo tani gezel. By the Mishnah, he wrote gezel v'tani aveda. And he wrote aveda. So even though both of those seem to be of a similar nature, which is that there's a minimum threshold of money in order to be considered valuable enough that there is a mitzvah, whether it's to return it or a mitzvah to go and search for return it to the individual who belongs to. So then you repeated those in the Mishnah. Why wouldn't you put yeshivata dayanim as well? Where it says, hanachit strichale. You need both of those. Gezel and aveda, you couldn't learn one from the other. Gezel is a gozel mechaviro shave pruta, v'nishbalo yolichenu achorav afidu madai. Aveda is a motze aveda, shave pruta, chayav dachriz. Ve'af agav dezal. Even though it's deteriorated in value, or it's diminished in value from the time that you found it, and now it's less than a pruta, you still have that obligation. So the Gemara says, I needed to write Gezel, I needed to write Aveda. The other item of Yeshivata Danaim derives from these other two cases. So that's one possibility. The Balei HaTosafot asks, why don't you just say that our Mishnah believes that you do have a case, even when there's less than a pruta? And if that's the case, then it would be easy then to understand why he left it out of the Mishnah. Say that he disagrees with Levi, and he believes that it's less than a pruta. Balei HaTosafot basically answer that based on the maskana of the Gemara over here, that that's not true. Because even according to the opinion that we think says that you're allowed to bring a case less than a pruta, it's not true. You have to have a minimum of a pruta to start the case. The question is, do we then allow for counterclaims or the continuation of the case when it drops below a pruta? And so Tosafot says that's not a viable option for the Mishnah to suggest that you would bring a case that's worth less than a pruta. Now the Gemara asks from the opposite side, from Levi's side. The Levi, my time alotani aveda bepruta. Why did he leave that out of his braita? Tanale gezel, because that's already subsumed under gezel. Where it says umi lotani gezel v'ktani shivata dayanim. Well, didn't he bring the case of gezel, which gives a minimum of a pruta, and Yeshiva Dayanim, which also is a minimum pruta, which seems to be the requisite amount to be considered significant. So why did you bring both of those? It says, Yeshiva Dayanim, it's trichalei afuke min derev ketina. He had to bring Yeshiva Dayanim because that came to contrast with the position of Rav Ketina and to say that Rav Ketina is wrong. Dam Rav Ketina, beit niskakim afilu pachot mishave pruta. Because Rav Ketina believes that you even have to, beit din has to deal with cases that are even less than a pruta. Even for minimal amounts, that they have to sit in judgment about these issues. Belevi, my time aloktoni hekdesh. So why does he write mi'ila, which is found in our Mishnah? And it says, bechulin kamairi, bekodoshim lo kamairi. He's dealing with issues or prutot that are apparent in secular items, not things that deal with hekdesh. Elatana didan, the kamairi bekodoshim. Our tana that does include things that are kodesh. Why did it only include mi'ila in our Mishnah? Nitne ma'aser bepruta. Why don't you say that the minimum amount for Meiser Sheni, in order to redeem it, is a pruta? We just learned that there is a minimal threshold by which you redeem Meiser Sheni, and that threshold is a pruta. Kemanda Amar, we saw this back on Daf Nun Gimel, that there were two opinions as to what it means that there's a minimal threshold of a pruta. One opinion was means the Karen, the actual Meiser Sheni has to be worth at least a pruta in order to redeem it. There was a second opinion that was Ein Bechomsho pruta. That's what we're saying over here, that it's not included in our Mishnah, because if you paskin like the one who says that in its fifth it's not a pruta, that means that the core amount has to be at least minimum of four or five prutot, depending if it's chomesh milabar or chomesh milagav, or chomesh milagav or chomesh milabar. But the karen is way in excess of a pruta, just the chomesh has to be in excess of pruta according to that opinion. Where it says, litnei, so you can write that in the Mishnah, chomesh maser bepruta. So you could just say in the Mishnah, we're not talking about the Karen, you can say that one-fifth that you add on by your redemption of Meiser Sheni must be a minimum of a pruta, and that would have fit into the Mishnah. Where it says, berkarna kamairi bechomesh lo kamairi. The Mishnah is only dealing with Karen, it's not dealing with a chomesh. So that gives explanation as to the items that were chosen by the author of our Mishnah, why the five that he picked are the ones that are there. It also explains to us why Levi picked his five. Again, the machloket between them is, there really isn't a machloket between them, except with regards to ona'ah, where Levi says that there is ona'ah leprutot, whereas Aristana seemingly indicates that there is no ona'ah leprutot. The rest of the items that are left out are for technical reasons, not because there's necessarily an argument between them. Now the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar of Katina, Beit Din Niskakim, Afilu Pachot Mishave Pruta. The Beit Din deals with cases even less than a Shave Pruta. Meiti Rovo, is that really true? Ve'et Asher Chata Min HaKodesh, Yishaleim. A person who is Chata B'Kodesh, does something wrong with Kodesh, meaning that they are in violation of this mitzvah, then they have to pay. The Rapot, Pachot Mishave Pruta, the Hishavon, the requirement based on that pasuk is that you return something that is even less than a shave pruta. There's a requirement that you still deal with that or that you return it even though it doesn't meet the minimum requirement of a shave pruta. Now, that is referencing to mi'ilah. And the psukim of mi'ilah, it now demands that you pay it back even though it's not equal to a pruta. So the Gemara is medayik from that the Kodesh in of the Hejot Lo. That's true by Kodesh, that's not true by lay people. So what that shows you is that this requirement of a pruta is there anytime you deal with secular issues with matters of lay people and chulin, there is this minimum requirement of a pruta, and that would be true for sitting in judgment, that the Beit Din doesn't have to deal with those issues because it's considered to be too minimal or something that's not of significance, something that is subject to mechila. And therefore, the judges do not have to sit and adjudicate a case that's less than a shave pruta. By Kodesh, we have a specific ribui, as Rashi notes over here, that they're doresh the et. It says ve'et asher chata. That et is a ribui to say that even though it's less than a shave pruta, there you do have an obligation to deal with it in terms of mi'ilah. But that is the unique or the only place you have to do it. But by cases of adjudication, you wouldn't. So then that would be a problem for Rav Katina's position. So ala'i itmar hachi itmar. So this is the way that we should formulate Rav Katina's statement is, Amar Rav Katina, im hiskuku beit din l'shave pruta, once beit din already has to sin in judgment over something that met the minimum threshold of a pruta, gomrim afilu l'pachot mishave pruta, then they finish the din even with less than a shave pruta. Now the way Rashi explains it over here is, gomrim afilu pachot im chazar sheni v'tavo, if the other party that comes with a counterclaim that is pachot mishave pruta, Kodem she'amdu beitin, before beitin breaks up over this case, So then, niskakimlo, they deal with it. So Rashi says, in the context of this case, if there's a counterclaim in the case that does not meet the minimum threshold, since Beit Din is already sitting over this case because the first claim met the minimum threshold, then all subsequent claims that derive from this case, counterclaims and such, they don't have to meet the minimal threshold because Beit Din's already reviewing this case or this situation. So therefore, you can bring up all sorts of different aspects of this case, and they don't have to meet the threshold because you're already sitting in Din. You could explain it. A simple way to read this Gemara would be to say that, Bitchila, once Beit Din sits, if it met the minimum threshold to get them to sit, even though after they investigate the case, it no longer has a putah worth of question at hand, they don't just break up and not solve the case or deal with the case. Rather, that once they've already sat to deal with the case, even if it drops below the minimum threshold, they have to finish up the case. They have to adjudicate the situation. So that would have been the simpler way to read it. Rashi, on the other hand, says it has to do with counterclaims or other claims that derive from the case that they no longer have to meet the minimum threshold because you're already sitting over the original case that did meet the threshold. All right, now the next Mishnah says, Chamisha Chumshim Hein. So there are 5/5 that exist. Ve'elohen, and these are they. So now you have a Mishnah or Mishnayot here that are giving you summaries of ways to remember these items. So you first had Chamesh Putot Hein. Now you have Chamesh Chumshim Hein. And again, they derive one from the other, as we've seen in places before, that this minimum of a pruta also has effect both on the chomesh, sometimes like b'maiser sheni, or that the item itself must have that minimum of a pruta in order for there to be an obligation of a chomesh. So they are eluhein, ochel chuma. Now here the Mishnah is going to have a list of items, all of which are subsumed under one category, and that one category is truma, because truma captures, as we mentioned this on Daf Nun Gimel, truma captures numerous items. Chala, Bikurim, Trumat Maser are all subsets of Truma Gedola and all have the same din as Truma. Therefore, in the Mishnah enumerates over here, it says, Ochel Truma, someone who eats Truma Bishogeg, U Trumat Maser, or eats Trumat Maser Bishogeg, U Trumat Maser Shel Demai, which the Gemara will deal with, if it's Trumat Maser that you have to separate off from produce that you bought from an Am Haaretz. Over there, we know that when you buy from the Am Haaretz, you do not have to separate Truma Gedola, because when they investigated, all of the Ami Aretz took off Truma Gidola because of the fact that it's very easy in a Chita Achat Pokteret Tekri, which means that you can take off a smallest amount and you're done with Truma Gidola. We also said that Rov Ami Aretz Masrin Hein, majority of them take off Maaser. What we're worried about here, and this is one of the main issues with Trumat, with the Demai, is Trumat Maaser. That when you take off the Maaser Rishon, that you also have to separate from that Maaser Rishon another tenth, which is Trumat Maaser. And there the Amei Aretz are not as careful, and that involves a Chiyuv Mita Bidei Shamayim. So therefore we demand that you remove the Trumat Maaser from the Demai. So that Trumat Maaser Shel Demai, if you eat it or you misappropriate it, then you're going to have to pay a Chomesh, which is somewhat difficult because of the fact that the only reason you're taking off is Misafek. So now, if something goes wrong, Misafek, why are you paying a Chomesh on top of that if we're not even certain there's a problem here? That's what the Gemara deals with. V'chala v'bikurim. And chala and bikurim, again, if you eat these items when you're not a Kohen and we're not supposed to, then you have to pay back the item plus a Chomesh, because these are all subsets of Chuma, Mosif Chomesh. That's the first of the Chomeshim that we're speaking about here. Number two is, Hapodeh Neteh Revai U'Maser Sheni Shelo Mosif Chomesh. Person redeems his own Neteh Revai, which is produce in its fourth year. The first 3 years it is Orla. In the fourth year is Neteh Revai, and has to be brought up to Yerushalayim similar to Maaser Sheni, and has the same din as Maaser Sheni. There's actually a Gezeirah Shavah between them of Kodesh Kodesh. And the same din that applies by Maaser Sheni also applies to Neteh Revai. And that goes for redemption. And when you redeem your own Maaser Sheni, or you redeem your own Neteh Revai, you have to add on a Chomesh that we discussed extensively in the Gemara on Daf Nun Gimel. It's number two. Number three is, Habodeh Hekdesho Mosif Chomesh. That someone who redeems his own Hekdesh also has to add on a fifth on top of it. And again, that we discussed in yesterday's Daf, and the beginning of today's Daf, we discussed the fact that when you're redeeming items that you made Hekdesh that are your own, you have to add on a Chomesh. Haneneh Shaveh Pruta Min Hekdesh Mosif Chomesh. Someone who misappropriates Hekdesh to the tune of a Shaveh Pruta, which means that he's now Chayav in Mi'ila, that individual not only has to pay back what he took from Hekdesh or Ne'anemi Hekdesh, he has to add on a Chomesh on top of that. But Gozelet Chaveiro Shaveh Pruta, V'nishbalo Mosif Chomesh. And similarly, someone who steals from his friend denies under oath that fact, then he pays, if it's a Mishaveh Pruta, he pays back a chomesh on top of it. When he makes the repayment for swearing falsely and denying the money, he pays back not only the keren, but also a chomesh on top of that. So, Amarovo, kashale the Rabbi Elazar, where Rabbi Elazar is perplexed by Trumat Maser Shel Demai, the listing or the enumerating of Trumat Maser Shel Demai in our Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Elazar over here is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the Amora, who is a Talmid Chover of Rabbi Yochanan, and he is perplexed by the Mishnah's inclusion of Trumat Maser Shel Demai. Now, the requirement to take off Trumat Maser from Demai is only a requirement midirabanan. And if it's a requirement midirabanan, what the Chachamim also now instituted with that requirement that you have to add on a chomesh on top of it, as if it's d'oraita? I mean, if they're making their institution so serious that you're going to treat it like a d'oraita, and if you now eat it b'shogeg, you're going to have to pay a chomesh on top of that? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Hamani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Meir, he, Damar Asu Chachamim Chizuk LeDivareihem Kishel Torah. Rabbi Meir has this principle or this general view that whenever the Chachamim institute something, they institute it in a way that it carries the same weight as a Din D'oraita. Even though we find in many places, as Tosafot says, Afagav D'kamim Komot Asu Afili Yoter Mishel Torah, we find many places that the Chachamim were more machmir about Dini Rabbanan than Dini D'oraita in order to strengthen or enforce the Din D'Rabbanan. Hainu Hecha D'Shayach Liknos. That's in a case where there's reason to penalize the individual. Kedei Lasot Sayag, in order to create a fence around the Torah or preventative measure. Avahacha Afilu B'Trumat Maser Vadai. Over here, even if it was Trumat Maser Vadai, had the Torah not said that you're penalized with an extra chomesh, we would never have said that. So it's only because the Torah adds on the chomesh by the Truma that we have it. So that's already a chidush in the Doraita level. Why would you then carry that chidush over from the Doraita level and apply it to a Din D'Rabbanan, which is only misafek? So the Gemara says it's because it's Rabbi Meir's Shita. Rabbi Meir has this general view that the Chachamim always, when they institute something, they put it on a Doraita level. The Tanya, mevi get mimidinat ayam. Person brings a get. They are a shaliach for the Baal to give the get to the woman to divorce his wife. Nitanola, if he hands it to her, v'lo amarla, and he doesn't state at the time that he gives her the get, bifanai nichtav ubifanai nechtam, it was written in front of me, and it was signed in front of me. Yotzi vavlad mamzer, divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, if this woman married based on that get, she has to divorce the new husband, and any children that are born from the new marriage are considered to be mamzerim. Now it's clear here that bifanai nechtav ubifanai nechtam is an institution derabanan. It's a requirement derabanan, as Rashi notes over here. The two reasons that we brought in the Gemara and Gittin, either because of the fact that there are no edim around to be mekayimit, so we use this language to make sure that we have verification of the edim, or because the in bekim lishma, that the people overseas were not bekim lishma, and this was a way for us to verify that they understood that the get had to be written lishma. But either way, it's only an institution derabanan. Yet Rabbi Meir says, if you fail to carry out this institution derabanan, the get is invalid, to the point where we consider this subsequent marriage to be an invalid marriage, and that the children born of that are mamzerim. Now clearly they're mamzerim derabanan, but to say such a thing means that you're holding it up at almost the d'oraita level. Chamim amrim in avlad mamzer, that the subsequent children born from the new marriage are not mamzerim. This is only an institution derabanan. So ketzad yaseh, so what do you do to rectify the problem? It's lena mimena, he should, the shliach, take it back from her, v'yachzor v'itnena la b'fnei shnayim. And then he should re-give the get to her in front of two people, v'yomer la. At that time he'll say, b'fanai nichtav u'fanai nechtam, that it was written and signed in front of me. And that way he'll accomplish the din derabanan over here. But he can do it retroactively. I mean, he can do it now, and it'll be effective retroactively. The Balei Tosfot point out here, as well as in the Gemara and Gittin, what you see from here is that once she has the get in hand, you cannot say b'fanai nichtav u'b'fanai nechtam. It doesn't work. But rather, the takana is that it has to be done at the time that you're giving over the get, you have to state it. And that's why he has to go through this process over here of taking it back and then handing it to her again in front of two edim, because that's the only context in which saying b'fanai nichtav u'b'fanai nechtam has relevance. And so you have to simulate that situation in order to say it. You can't just simply say it after the fact. So therefore, this is Rabbi Meir l'shitato, as the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir l'tameh. Rabbi Meir is Tashitato, the Amar Rabbi Amnuna Mishmei De'ula, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, Konu Meshanem Mimatbeya Shetav'u Chachamim, Begitin, anyone who deviates from the requisite dinim de Rabbanan by Gitin, Yotziv Avlad Mamzer. If the woman is divorced with such a get, then the subsequent marriage you have to dissolve, and any child born from that subsequent marriage is considered to be a Mamzer. So this is Rabbi Meir Tashitato, that whenever you have requirements mid de Rabbanan, we upheld those requirements mid Rabbanan as if they are d'oraita requirements, and therefore if a get is utilized in such a manner that it fails to meet those standards de Rabbanan, we make the subsequent marriage an invalid marriage, and the children that are born mamzerim, because you give it the power or the tokef d'oraita, even though, again, it's all technical, because it's still, he's only a mamzer mid Rabbanan, and the other marriage has to be dissolved mid Rabbanan, but we're treating it as if there was some failure mid oraita. We do the same thing with Dinim Derabanan by Gitin. What the Gemara is suggesting now is that Rabbi Meir is also the author of our Mishnah, where you have Chumat Maser Demai, which is something that's an institution Derabanan, that the Rabbanan upheld their position to the point of a Doraita. That means that if you eat it Bishogeg, you're also going to have to add on a Chomesh, like you would by Chumat Maser Vadai, that is Doraita. Meitiv Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, is this really the position of Rabbi Meir, the Gabei Chumat Maser? You're telling us that he's Machmir by Chumat Maser to tell us that the din has the same din as a din d'oraita. We have this problem, which is mechalinoto kesef al kesef, nechoshet al nechoshet, kesef al nechoshet, unechoshet al perot, ve'achzor v'yiftet al perot, divrei Rabbi Meir. So over here, where we're speaking about maaser, here Rabbi Meir has a din that there's a kula here, something that you cannot do by maaser vadai. He allows you to do by maaser shel demai. And that is, he allows you to exchange items from silver to silver to copper, copper to silver, or even if you've exchanged it onto produce, you can go back and redeem that produce onto money and then take it up to Yerushalayim. Generally, once you've redeemed the maaser sheni onto monies, and then you redeem it again onto peirot, then you're done. That's the end of the process. Over here, he allows you to redeem it again. What you see here are tremendous kulot, vis-a-vis maser shel demai, versus what would be the din by maser vadai. If you already redeemed the kesem ha-shishini, you placed it back onto produce, then the chamim say that you take that produce up to Yerushalayim. Now, the way that Rashi reads this is, according to Rabbi Meir, you can redeem the peirot again and then take them up to Yerushalayim. On the other hand, the chamim say you have to take the peirot directly up to Yerushalayim. V'lo yizkiku l'kach. They didn't require him lachzor lechalalan, to go and redeem them again. V'imrotzem alei ha-perot atzman dehekilu ba. So the chamim are mekel over here that you could take them up as perot to Yerushalayim. That's the way Rashi reads it. It's a very difficult reading of the Braita, because it seems to be the opposite way around. And that's what the Balei HaTosafot point out. He says that you could have brought other proofs to the fact, or to this din that we bring over here. And number two is, over here we're trying to say that Rav Meir is mekel, and the chamim are machmir. And therefore, Tosafot reads it that the Chamim demand that you take up the Perot that way. Rashi says, oh, if you want to, you can take up the Perot that way. No, it's not if you want to. The Chamim are Machmir. They're not Mekil, they're Machmir, and say you must take up the Perot. You do not have a right to re-exchange the Perot back onto monies. The other hand, Rabbi Meir allows you, if you choose, to redeem it a second time, even though technically in Maaser Sheni in general, we do not allow you to redeem it multiple times, meaning that if you redeem it and then expend it on something, you can't redeem that subsequent item. Nevertheless, by Maaser Sheni Shel Demai, Rabbi Meir does allow you to do that. So then, the problem is here, is that if you're telling me that by Chumat Maaser Shel Demai, Maaser Sheni Shel Demai, that Rabbi Meir is Machmir, the level of Doraita, all of a sudden over here, you have all these kulot by Demai. That's what the Gemara says. Umi mechalalinan kesef al nechoshet. Since when can you redeem silver onto copper? Vatnan, don't we have a Mishnah? Sela shel maaser sheni v'shel chulin, shenit arvu. If you have a sela of maaser sheni mixed up with a sela of chulin, meaning that the coins got mixed up. Mevi sela ma'ot, then you bring copper coins. V'omer, kol makom sheyeshna sela shel maaser sheni, wherever the sela of maaser sheni is, you have two coins mixed up, a sela of maaser sheni and a sela of chulin, and you say with these copper coins, whichever of those two coins is the maaser sheni, it's now redeemed onto these copper coins. Shel maaser sheni muchlalat al ma'ot halalu, uboreret ha'yafeh shebehen, Then he takes the nicer of the two selas, the two silver coins, umichalalo aleha. And then you redeem it back onto that coin. You take it from the copper coins and move it back onto the silver coins. Mipnei shamru, michalalin oto kesef al nechoshek midochak. We allow you to move from silver coins onto copper coins under duress. V'lo shikayem kein, and not that it should stay this way, elo shechozer michalalan al kesef. But you remove them and put it back onto the silver. As Rashi notes over here, that it is not appropriate to keep Maisur Sheni on copper coins because of the bizayon. It's bizayon maser. And also we said before that the copper coins deteriorate, they rust, or they oxidize, and therefore Maisur Sheni will lose out. So it's inappropriate to leave them on the copper coins. But we allow you this opportunity or this vehicle by which you can exchange silver onto copper coins only in this very difficult situation where you have chulin and maser mixed up, and there's no other option to deal with it because you can't move it from silver to silver. We already saw this in the Gemara, that Maisur Sheni has to be redeemed. It has to be an exchange. You have to exchange it for something that is different or differentiated in some way. Moving it from a silver coin to another silver coin doesn't work. And that's why you can't redeem one of these two coins and say, oh, whichever one is the bigger coin, you say, if it is already Maisur Sheni, it's Maisur Sheni. If it's the other coin is Maisur Sheni, I'll redeem it onto this coin. You can't do that because you can't move from silver to silver. So what we say is you have to do it derech chilul. So derech chilul is moving it from silver onto copper. But that's only allowed in this extenuating circumstance. That's not a normal provision that is allowed in Maisur Sheni. Yet, Ravi Meir is saying that when you have Maisur Sheni Shel Demai, you can do all of this, even in a normal circumstance. You don't have to worry about this din. And that's what the Gemara is asking over here. What you see from this is, Tani Miat Mechalim Midochak, Midochak In, Shalom Midochak Lo. It's only in this difficult situation under these extenuating circumstances that we allow it. Otherwise, we don't allow it. So Amar Rav Yosef says, Afopi Shemekio Rabbi Meir Pidyono Machmirhu Be'achilato. Even though Rabbi Meir is Mekil with regards to redemption of Maisur Sheni, he's much more Machmir when you eat it Bishogeg. Detanyo, you have a Breita. Lo Itiru Limkor Demai Ela Lisiton Belvad. We don't allow you to sell Demai when you don't take off Chumot Masrot to a wholesaler. Ubala bayit ben kach u ben kach tzarich laser divir Rabbi Meir. But when you sell it to a regular purchaser, whether that's a retail purchaser or a person who's buying it for his own personal usage, then you have to take off Chumot Masrot beforehand, divir Rabbi Meir. Chamim amim, echad a siton v'echad bala bayit mocher. You can sell it, whether it's to a siton or whether it's to a bala bayit, you can sell it. The Gemara in other places qualifies that that's only true when you're selling wholesale quantities. It has to be at the level of wholesale quantities, which the minimum amount, the Gemara explains in other places, is b'yavesh is shlosha kabin and en lach is shaved dinar. So if you're selling at those wholesale quantities, then you don't have to take off the chumot masrot demai when you sell it to them, and they'll have to deal with it. V'sholeach lechaveiro v'notein lo matana, he can send it to his friend or give it to him as a gift, v'enu chushesh, and you don't worry about it. So you see here that Rabbi Meir, when it comes to chumat maaser or maaser shel demai, Rabbi Meir is much more machmir where we're worried about the eating of it or the misuse of it. So you have to take off chumot masrot. The only place that he's mekil is with regards to the redemption. But pidyon, he has a kula there. But with regards to everything else, he is machmir. And that's why we're saying that he's the author of our Mishnah that says that shumat maser shel demai, if you eat it, you're not only going to have to replace it, you're also going to have to pay the chomesh that is necessary over here. And so Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim here argue about your right to sell mais tevel, that is tevel demai. So you bought it from an amaharitz, and now you want to sell it. Do we require you to remove the trumot and masrot before you sell it? The assumption being that you are a chaver, and since you are a chaver, then you don't let anything come out of your hand that hasn't had trumot and masrot taken off of it. So if you sell these items or give away these items, people are going to assume that the trumot and masrot were removed from it. What we require here, according to Rabbi Meir, is only when you sell it to a siton, which is a wholesaler. He buys from numerous farmers and many people that are amearetz, so he has to be mafrish trumot and masrot from his produce anyway. So when you sell into him, that's what he normally does anyway, and so therefore you don't have to worry about it. But when you sell to a balabayit, who assumes that since you're a chaver that you took off the chumot masrot, then you can't sell it to him. Since it came from an amaretz, you're responsible to take off the chumot masrot shel demai first. The chamim, on the other hand, say that it doesn't matter who the recipient it is, it has to do with the quantity that you're selling. Just like when you sell to a siton, you're selling large quantities. He's a consolidator of different producers. So to over here, Balabayit, if he's buying in those quantities, then like Rabbi Meir says, in those quantities, the Siton doesn't have to take up Trumot Maaserot, so do the Balabayit. If he's buying like a wholesaler, or buying in quantities like a wholesaler, over there, he does not have a requirement to separate out the Trumot Maaserot before he gives it over, and the person will assume that if selling those quantities within that mix is also Tevel Shel Demai, produce that came from an Am Haaretz, and therefore he will separate out Trumot Maaserot, he's not relying on you. But again, in conclusion, we see that Rabbi Meir is Mamid Divrei Derabanan like Dinei Doraita, and that will explain why he's the author of our Mishnah of Trumot Maaser Shel Demai. The exceptional case, which we saw over here, was with regards to Pidyon of Maaser Sheni. There he's Mekil when it's Demai, but that's only with regards to Pidyon. With regards to Achila, he's Machmir, and our Mishnah is talking about Achila, Trumot Maaser Shel Demai, which results in a necessity to pay Keren B'chomesh. There, that is the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who says, Asu Chizik L'Dvarim Kishol Torah, that the Chamim made their dinim, just like the Torah din, and just like by the Torah din, if you ate Trumot Maaser Shel Vadai, you would have to pay a Chomesh, so too by Demai, you will have to pay a Chomesh. Okay, we're going to stop over here, 10 lines down on the top of Nun Vav, Amud Aleph.